Today, answers matter more than ever before. That's why IBM is helping businesses manage customer questions with Watson Assistant. It's conversational AI designed to work for any industry. Let's put smart to work. Visit ibm.com/Watson Assistant.
Good Thursday morning, everybody. Hope your day is off to a great start. Hope you're getting ready for a great Thursday morning, afternoon, evening, whatever part of the day that you are in. How are you guys doing this morning, fellas? How's the night last night?
It's Friday.
Nah, I wish. Not yet, Raj.
Not yet. I'm doing great. This is you know, Jorge's in here jamming a little bit. Got me feeling kind of good. I did some writing yesterday.
Of course you did some writing.
Ordered pizza instead of cooking, so I could save my energy to concentrate on writing. And and then I watch a couple of old movies. Cowboys and Aliens. You guys know Cowboys and Aliens?
Yeah, I saw that.
Yeah, no. So that was on last night. So I was like, oh, yeah, I watched cowboys fight some aliens from outer space. That seems pretty cool.
You must have been on some of that illegal stuff.
No.
Because that, it makes all sense. Riding in the dark, eating pizza, and watching the cowboys fight aliens.
Doesn't sound like a bad night.
So just so you guys with the mask on. A little bit. So Keyshawn FaceTimed me while I was in the midst of writing. And I do prefer to write in very minimum light. So I go to our movie room and I don't turn any lights on. I just have a little bit of light coming in. Most of the lights being projected is just coming from my screen. That's how I prefer to write. And so Keyshawn FaceTimed me, saw that, and thought I was like killing somebody or something in a closet or something.
You was looking real strange. That's for sure. You didn't look healthy to me. You look like you was up to something. I don't know what that.
He was writing.
I was writing.
It wasn't right. It had nothing to do with writing. It just looked like it was a very surreal environment, as I would say. Let's put it that way.
Was Steve tied up in the corner?
Look, at the end of the day, I don't know anybody that writes or even tries to read in the dark.
Well, you can't read in the dark.
Hey, how are you going to write in the dark? What's the difference?
The screen's glowing.
The screen is glowing.
Okay. Mm-hmm. You can believe that if you want to.
Travis, I had my scotch. See, some writers, they want to write at the beach. They want to write, you know, in the daylight. Some writers, their best time to write is like early in the morning. For me, it's actually the opposite. I like a dark environment. I like my little scotch. I like to be closed in when I write.
Just trust me, Travis and Raj and Jorge. He was doing something that he shouldn't have been doing. I don't know if he had his knee on the back as he was duct taping the face. I don't know what he was doing, but it looked like something that belonged on ID Network.
You've got a disturbing imagination, Key. I mean, that it immediately goes to something sinister is a little alarming.
And then on top of that, much like I see on all the shows that I watch, I never asked to divulge some information, so he's going to try to pan the room to show me, oh, look, I'm in the theater. I never asked where you were at. I never asked where you were.
He literally says, it's nighttime there? Why is it so dark?
That's exactly what I said. I said, is it nighttime there? Why is it so damn dark? Exactly.
Right. So if you weren't sitting in the dark, Key, doing what LZ was doing, what did you do last night?
Nothing, man. You know, I cooked for the family, normal, watched a bunch of, you know, on network 2020, Datelines, you know, murder killing thingies, mysteries.
No wonder you think everybody's up to no good.
Exactly. Man,
you gotta watch this stuff. And then it was so hot, I couldn't get out in the daytime and walk the entire neighborhood. So I waited till about 7 o'clock, and then we strolled around. It was pretty warm out. It was still in the mid-80s at 7 o'clock at night. So did that, and that's pretty much it. The day just zoomed by. You know, it was like, before I knew it, it was 6 o'clock.
Yeah, it's weird how that goes. Some days feel like they last twice as long as normal, and some days feel like they go by in 5 minutes. There really is no rhyme or reason to when they go quick or when they go fast.
No, there's not. I mean, obviously, on Sundays, the entire day it's about waiting for the last dance. But other than that, unless there's a classic game that you're really, really dying to see, or you got some sort of like quarantining gathering on Skype or Zoom, there's nothing to designate when you're supposed to do something.
Like I said to you yesterday, I've seen the same guys do the same thing. I've seen the same women do the same thing. And I saw one last night that I had saw like 3 months ago. I'm like, oh, yeah, I saw that one. That's interesting.
You're hearing your own personal reruns.
Where the young lady, faked her bullying from a computer to get sympathy, and her dad and her boyfriend went and killed a family that she wanted, the husband. But
no, what are you calling me up? I'm doing in the dark.
You need some more positive imagery.
Yeah, do you understand? But you do understand this stuff has happened. This is reenactments. This is not.
Yeah, but you don't have to swim in it. You don't have to swim around in the terribleness of the human condition. You can find something a little more positive.
Well, I just want to make sure that I'm watching everything around me. So any type of as I see these sort of things, I get clues. And as I watch my neighbors and weird stuff, I want to make sure. right?
Yeah.
LZ, I don't need the kid in the neighborhood, you know, climbing through my window. That's for damn sure.
LZ, you mentioned that we have Zooms to look forward to or conference calls or whatever. The NBA has a call set for all of its players tomorrow that Adam Silver is going to be on the call. The director of the Players Association, Michelle Roberts, is going to be on the call. And they're going to have a conversation. They're going to let players ask questions that they may have. We know that a couple of teams are getting ready to reopen as early as tomorrow. The Nuggets, Blazers, and Cavs are getting ready to go. Some other teams are on the heels. Other teams are taking a far more cautious approach. Mark Cuban mentioned that he's not in any rush to get back in the facility. This call tomorrow feels like it could go one of two ways. It feels like it could be a, hey, you guys need to get ready because we're getting ready to do this, or you guys can stand down. I mean, it'll be interesting to see what comes out of this call tomorrow afternoon.
Well, I think it's going to be a positive call. The NBA is very pro-player, partner. So they like to communicate. They're like the NFL. The NFL, you know, they'll take the lead after. I mean, they'll allow people like the NBA to take the lead. Then they'll follow up and make it seem as though they did something really creative. They allow other people to step in the mud and then leave the tracks, and then they try to clean it up later on. And so when you look at the NBA and you look at what they're doing, certainly these teams are opening starting on Friday. The Houston Rockets originally said that they were going to do the same, but now they said, okay, we'll wait till May 18th. So when you have these sort of things happening, this is why I said on our call, the NBA is getting ready to get in high gear. The NFL is doing the same thing starting tonight with the scheduling, with reassurance that there's some things down the line, if it needs to change, that they're ready to make those changes, but they're going according to plan. And I think the NBA is certainly doing the same thing. So as you start to see different reports from different player or different executives from teams, I understand some people may see, Coach Frank Vogel, for instance, for the Lakers said, you know, we're a long ways away. Well, what is a long ways away? Because I've heard, our own mayor here in L.A. said that we're not doing certain things. And then all of a sudden, a day later, it's like, oh, yeah, well, we're going to do this, 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 and this. So I don't think that what I think is that everybody is kind of walking lightly into such due time that they get certain confirmations, because you just don't want to step out there and say, well, we're getting ready to do this on May 17th, and it doesn't happen on the 17th. Now you get boxed in with saying, well, you said it was going to be the 17th, opposed to saying, well, we're a long ways away, because it's easier to walk that back than it is we're opening on a certain specific date.
The NBA seems to have... Go ahead, LZ. I'm sorry.
One of the things I find interesting about the teams that have announced that they're planning on opening, like Portland and especially the Cleveland Cavaliers, these are teams that are not playoff bound. And, you know, the idea that if the NBA were to come back, it's going to come back and go straight into to playoffs or very quickly into the playoffs. Maybe that's not necessarily the case, because if you're the Cleveland Cavaliers, very much like the Golden State Warriors, what's the rush? You're not going into the postseason. The season's already lost, whether you play or not. Why bother going through exposing people possibly by reopening your facilities? Maybe you're taking this risk, or maybe you're doing this because you're anticipating the entire league starting up again and a regular season continuing, as opposed to a notion which I had hoped, which was you would just start at the postseason.
See, I don't think any, Travis and LZ, I don't think any organization is going to go away and against government as well as health officials. So if the health officials within those cities, whether they're playoff teams or not, is given the clearance to open up, I think they're going to open up. Because that's what this is a league of very important people, very expensive players, and a lot of health risks. So I don't think they're just going to buck the trend of the system and do what they want to do because they're not in the playoffs.
I wonder why the NBA is the one league, because, you know, like you said, Keith, the NFL has been very clear in what their messaging has been, that they held the draft on time, they plan on holding camps on time, they plan on holding the season on time, and there obviously are some contingencies in place if stuff comes up. Baseball has been pretty good about speaking with one voice, with a couple of exceptions here and there about the Arizona plan and then the three cities plan, and now we found out that Trevor Plouffe, what he said the other day, might actually be taking place. Basketball's a little bit different, where you have different teams doing different things. The league really hasn't said, this is our plan, other than we're going to talk to some of our teams and see what's going on. They're the one league that's taken more of a, we're going to let the teams kind of decide how they're going to approach it.
And I think that is the way the NBA has kind of always operated. They allow independence with their players as well as their teams and their organizations, where the NFL wants everything bottled up. They want to control everything. Whether you go into, I mean, you can go a lot of different ways with the NFL over the years of controlling a message. Roger Goodell told everybody, I'm going to make the decision on when we're opening, how mm-hmm. we're going to open, 50%, 75%, whatever the case, we're going to stagger, we're going to do this, because it serves us no purpose, okay? It serves our partners no purpose to independently start saying things that may or may not be true. And when you start hearing serves us no purpose and our partners no purpose, what does that smell like? Smells like greenbacks, which means money.
Yeah, no, that well, I mean, we all know that's ultimately going to be the thing that drives the decision immediately after health. We'll get back to that. That's coming up. More of that coming up in just a little bit. Craig Hodges, former teammate of Michael Jordan, says that this documentary is not being done right. We'll hear why he's upset. That's coming up next on The Morning Show on 710 ESPN. Guys, today was the day in 1995 where Reggie Miller scored 8 points in 9 seconds to beat the Knicks. That yeah. happened today back in 1995. That was amazing.
I'm sorry. I was reading something Raj had sent. My bad.
I was eating a piece of chicken.
Well, we're on. You put down your phone. You put down the chicken.
The question now is, does the chicken have skin? And if it does, is it soggy? And if it doesn't, is the chicken super cold?
I literally just grabbed these wings out of the refrigerator from last night's pizza order.
So you got, them ain't right then.
Man, they real yeah, life.
That can be a hit and miss deal. If you get wings from a pizza life. Place, that's that can
why,
go
it,
bad.
But that's why I said it ain't right. I didn't even want to elaborate. I just said it ain't right. You knew exactly what I was saying, Travis, because you're a foodie. And on top of that, the chicken wings from a pizza place ain't real, like real. The chicken most likely got something injected in it. The wings look like drumsticks and they
what?
Wings.
Key? No. Key is exactly right. He is exactly right. The wings that come from a pizza place are almost always too big.
No, they're
on
size.
Steroids or something.
No,
they're
I know
rubbery.
What you're talking about.
You're right, Key.
Come on, man.
I know what you're talking about, but these wings aren't like that.
Okay, well, I'll believe you because you said it, but I'm just telling you, if you're ordering wings from a pizza place, you're doing it right. But speaking of doing something right or wrong, Travis, you're always doing something wrong. You want to know why? Because anytime you're down in a poll, you never mention it. I want to know what the poll's saying right now.
What are you talking about? It smells fishy
to me. That poll we had yesterday on the cars.
I want to talk about Reggie Miller scoring 8 points.
What's the poll? What was the poll yesterday?
Well, cars.
The poll. Yeah, it was iconic TV or movie cars.
Iconic TV or movie cars. So, Raj, where are we at with that? I must be leading. I feel good. Something vibes telling me, because neither one of these knuckleheads said a word.
Well, I was Raj. Chicken. That's
yes.
What I
well, the it's not closed yet. The polls are not closed. There's still a chance. But Keyshawn, you are correct. You are, in fact, leading with 40% of the vote. So that's looks like it might be a victory. But LZ is close behind with 34.6%. And, of course, Travis lacking the black vote for his first pick of General Lee is at 25%. So there's still a few minutes left. But, Keyshawn, it looks like you may tie this up. And if this happens, we've got two wins for everyone all across the board.
I'm going to have to make a call to my people to rally them to get to.
Oh, no, don't do that. No. Hey,
call San Diego.
Hey, I want you to remove yourself from the conversation and calling your people, because we don't right now that I don't want you near your people.
Trust I need to
me.
Win the poll, Keith. No, I need to win.
No, because we got some bad things that's going on. We want to leave that alone.
Yeah, it's we're having a bad week, month.
As a matter of fact, we need to close the poll right now.
No kidding. All right. So Craig Hodges is a guy. We've talked kind of. Hey, where's this guy been? Hey, wait a second. We mentioned Tony Kukoc hadn't been in it. Then all of a sudden, bam! There's Tony Kukoc. Craig Hodges, who's a teammate of Michael Jordan's and was a member of a couple of Bulls championship teams, has not been mentioned. He was on with Sarah Spann and Company the other day, and he was talking about why he's upset that he has not been in the Last Dance.
For me, it's one of those things, and just watching it unfold, you know, it's not a matter of me being salty, but I'm just saying it's a matter of just making sure that it's a well, you know, if we're going to talk about the history of it, I think it should be told more than to just be glossed over or glanced over.
Craig Hodges, yeah, go ahead, Keith.
I can't get involved in a guy who's part of the production and Michael Jordan and everything that's going on, and you want to turn it into Michael Jordan political this, political that. I can't do that. You cannot continue to try to bash him and saying that the story is not being told. The story ain't about that. The story is about the 98 Bulls. That's the story. So I had enough of that sort of stuff. It needs to go in a different direction, and it needs to go to what they're doing in terms of the 98 team and how they arrived to the 98 team.
The so man what does is the already dream mentioned, team have to do with the 98
the man,
team?
The man yeah. is already mentioned.
What does the dream team have to do with the 98 team?
It has to do a lot with the 98 team.
What?
It showed that Tony Kukoc was a guy that was on that team. That
no,
they
wasn't.
Found
he
him.
Was,
that they
he wasn't
that
on the team.
Not on the 98 team. But it shows that the history of building the Chicago Bulls, and Tony Kukoc was part of that history, and they found him in Europe, and at some point in time, him and Scottie didn't like it, and they moved forward from there. You know, he's already asked the question, LZ, about his remarks about shoes. He laid that out on the line. I mean, and I understand everybody wants to try to segue themselves into this documentary.
Well, I agree with that part, Key. I agree with people wanting to be a part of it, but this is not just about 98. This is about this is the Michael Jordan story. This is the story of Michael Jordan's career, with the capstone being the 98 season, because they went back to North Carolina. They went back to the 91
but
series.
What
They've
does Craig Hodges got to do with the Michael Jordan story?
He was a member of two of the teams.
Everything.
Yeah, but you can't put everybody. You can't put everybody on the team in the documentary. If that's the case, you're gonna talk to Will Perdue. You're gonna talk to Luke Long.
They have.
I'm saying you're gonna talk to everybody from the beginning to the end.
Here, I'm gonna break it down for the listeners. All right. The reason why Craig Hodges is important in this conversation is because he was intimately tied into Michael Jordan during the entire Republicans Buy Shoes 2 conversation.
But they didn't want to talk about that, though, LZ. That's not the story, though.
There's a difference between him not wanting to talk about it and it's not being part of the story. It's a part of the story. He doesn't want to talk about it, and he doesn't have to talk about it. But let's not pretend as if Craig Hodges, the conversation about Michael Jordan and the lack of social justice during his playing days, aren't all intimately tied together, because they are.
It ain't going nowhere, man. It ain't going to get nobody nowhere continuing to keep trying to relive something that we are past now.
That's what the whole series is, reliving something that's past. 98 happened 20-some years ago. The whole docu-series is on the past.
The reason that it's going to be the way that it's going to be is that it's Michael. And I get it. The reason that this thing is put together is because Michael said, you know what, let's put this thing together finally. So it's obviously going to be a Michael Jordan story. I don't think that's a big deal. I think that everybody understands that going into it, and I'm fine with it. That's absolutely
But it's crazy to think that everything has to be in a documentary, that every single thing has to be the documentary. It doesn't work like that, man. It does not work that way.
You know why Made in America was so good? Because it was so fearless. That's the reason why it was so good. It wasn't good simply because of the people that were involved. It was good because it was fearless in his attack of the story, the way that it went there. It always went there. That's the reason why Made in America was so compelling. And anytime that you know something doesn't go there, you recognize it. You still appreciate what you have,
but you instinctively
know it did not go there. If they were to do a documentary on Tiger Woods and just skip right over what happened with his wife on Thanksgiving weekend, it would still be a good documentary, but you know they didn't go there. And that's
look,
what we're
though,
saying.
LZ, Made in America was real on every – it was in our face. We saw every minute of that. Craig Hodges' story about being blackballed and this, that, and the other, that's more rumor than actual fact,
no,
man.
No. This isn't about Craig Hodges being blackballed.
Stop.
This is about the conversation of Republicans buy sneakers, too. And Craig Hodges is part of that narrative.
The man that already said it was unjust, he was on the bus clowning and having fun.
Michael's explanation of that made perfect sense to me.
He already done addressed that.
Yeah, that part. You know what else is interesting? This whole thing has gotten mixed up 100 different ways. And there was a piece yesterday in The Undefeated talking about some of the things that Michael has done, where some of that money has gone. Let's come back. Let's get into that coming up next on The Morning Show, 710 ESPN.
GEICO has the insurance industry-leading app that lets you manage your policy anytime, anywhere, which means that GEICO is always there for you. If only everyone was always there for you. Like animal control, when you're cornered in your garage by an angry possum.
Hi, me again. You guys said you would be here about an hour ago, and I think the possum is starting to get angry. Listen, I thought if I fed it, it would go away, but now it is ripping holes in the drywall and making some sort of nest. Just call me back.
GEICO, always there for you with savings and the industry-leading mobile app.
So you got to set your DVRs, guys, because we obviously have The Last Dance coming up on Sunday, 6 o'clock, episodes 7 and 8. But also Disney Sing-Along Volume 2 is coming up on Sunday night. So you're going to have to record one and watch the other later.
Is it the same? They're not going to be at the same time, right?
The Disney Sing-Along, I believe, is six, but it's 2 hours. And I think it overlaps with the beginning of the Disney thing. So you're going to have to take your pick. But that's what a DVR is for. You can watch them both. You just go and watch them both live.
Okay, yeah. So John Legend's going to be in it. Katy Perry.
A lot of the same people. I saw the lineup that just went by. Idina Menzel. A whole bunch of the people that they had from the first one are going to come back and do the second one. So you got two things this weekend to watch.
Shakira's going to be this one.
Ooh. Yeah.
Man, right. What song are you going to see?
I have a feeling it won't be the same performance that we saw at the Super Bowl. It'll be different. it'll be a little different. It's interesting to see the way that the Last Dance is hit, because first of all, everybody's watching it. It's a remarkable accomplishment.
Everybody is watching it. And I meant to hit you, but I didn't want to hit you while Travis was talking. You talking about the Made in America? The reason Made in America was good. I was about to say, LZ, are you telling me that the Last Dance isn't good?
No, that's not what I said at all. I said you could still be very good and not go there, and people will recognize you didn't go a certain place. But what made Made in America so fearless was that it did go there. That's the difference. You can still be good. You know, Whitney Houston was fantastic. Her songs sucked, but she still were fantastic. Her songs weren't compelling or brilliantly written, but she was that beast with that voice. You could recognize the difference.
All right.
So Michael Jordan coming out of this, the one, I don't want to say the one, but one of the criticisms of him has been his lack of activism, or at least public activism. And Key, you sent this yesterday to the group. The Undefeated has a piece about $2 million that Michael Jordan donated back in 2016 and the work that has been done with that $2 million. He gave $1 million to two different groups, and the groups are working on the same thing more or less, and that is to find a way to have police forces and people in communities would feel that they've been victimized by the police come together and find a way for them to see the world through each other's eyes, basically, and how that comes together through classes and policing and police chiefs and everything else. And it was just it's interesting to see, because Michael Jordan has clearly decided that the way that he is going to be active is anonymously, or at least it's not going to be as front and center as maybe some other people's activism might be. Why is that not okay? That seems okay to me.
It is okay. I mean, look, at the end of the day, man, people are never going to be satisfied with you unless you let them dig in your trash can and you giving them everything that they want. At the end of the day, you got to understand it's one of those deals where that's one thing that you know that he's done publicly. But when you are in a smaller circle or you have a relationship with individuals, you know what they're doing. May not be public, but Michael Jordan's done many, many things throughout North Carolina, through the D.C. area, through Chicago. I mean, he's done things you just don't hear about it, okay, because they want you to put it out front on a huge stage so everybody can say, oh, look, he's doing something. Everybody doesn't approach it that way. They just don't. I mean, I know guys that are sitting right here on our airways with us that has done some amazing stuff quietly in the background, but they're not even saying anything about it because they feel good inside, okay? LZ Grandison done some stuff over the last couple months for the frontline people, the hospitals, the nurses, the doctors. People don't know what he's done, and that's okay, and I won't mention it, but I know what he did. It's not in the public. It's not in the newspapers, but I'm sure LZ feels good about it. He probably, you know, would you know, want to say it, see it better yet on television or newspapers. It probably would make him feel, you know, okay, cool, but he's still, it's not out there. But I know he did it. Some other people know he did it. And that's how I look at things with Michael Jordan. I've done things in my career where I've just, like, done it. Nobody knew anything about it. I remember, and this is not as, you know, it's big to me. A kid, when I was playing for the Dallas Cowboys, a kid was paralyzed at a high school football game. And his family didn't have the ability to do the necessary care to take care of him and all the sort of things that they needed. They needed a van and they needed all these sort of things so he can get to rehab. They didn't have, and their story was put into, I would believe it was the Dallas Morning News, and I just happened to be reading the newspaper, whatever. I had my assistant track this family down and this kid. Black kid, lived in South Oak Cliff area. I knocked on his door in the middle of the night, okay? And the dude, they were sitting there eating at the table. I knocked on the door and told them, I'm going to take care of that van. Don't worry, blah, 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 blah. Don't tell anybody anything. A year or two later goes by, Leslie Visser somehow got the information and wanted to do a huge Thanksgiving Day story in the whole deal. And I was reluctant to do it, and I got talked into doing it. Because I didn't want people to know. I'm happy. I'm satisfied. And so sometimes it works that way. It just does.
He is absolutely correct. I'm not thrilled you put my business on blast, but you're right.
No, shut up.
You're right.
They still don't know what it is, so it doesn't matter.
True. But I personally am just satisfied just knowing the work is done. I don't need you to talk about me. I don't need you to say, hold me up or look at me in a different kind of way. I don't need any of that. I just get satisfaction knowing that the work is done and I keep it moving. And I can appreciate that. But I also know the other side. And I know the other side very intimately because it's very, very close to what the LGBTQ community goes through, which is when you have someone that has broken through and they've made it, quote unquote, made it, and they look like they're an untouchable. We understand the importance of visibility. We understand the importance of representation. And so sometimes, not all the times, but sometimes there's a great deal of frustration within leaders in the gay community because we need certain people to be open. We need certain people to be out because it's going to move the conversation forward. But you have to respect everyone has their own process. And you can't rush someone's process simply because you think it's going to be advantageous for the whole. That's the criticism that Michael Jordan faces.
And that's the only thing I've been saying the whole time. You can't rush his process just because you want to be satisfied. The man and his family is satisfied of doing it the way they want to do it. And if you can't see that, then shame on you.
But the only thing I would say is that while you're doing that and operating the way that you want to behave or that you feel comfortable with, you can't spin it to tell us that it's something else.
No.
That's what you get irritated.
Hold on.
Let me just give this example real quick, Key. He went so far as to include in the documentary how big and bad he was to put a flag over the Reebok logo because he was standing up for Nike. And he was very, very proud of speaking out for that on a big, huge stage like the Olympics. He's also has done a feature-length film in Space Jam. He's also have done commercials. He's done a music video with Michael Jordan, with Michael Jackson. So my point is that we know he wasn't tunnel vision and only focusing on basketball. We know.
So let me ask you this question.
Everybody's got some inconsistencies in their record.
But that's true, Travis. But if I put myself in a bad position, how is that going to help everybody else? How am I going to be able to help anybody else? If I do something that's going to derail my opportunity to be able to provide not only for my family, but for those that I want to help because it all of a sudden something goes south and it doesn't meet the standard of which I'm trying to build my brand so I can help other people. How is that helping?
I will tell you on the other side.
All right, we'll do that on the other side. Plus, we'll get into some NFL odds. We already know who's going to the Super Bowl, or at least Vegas does. We'll do that next. Coming up on the morning show on 710 ESPN. I still want to know why none of you guys are as enamored with Reggie Miller gutting the Knicks back in 1995 as I was. I remember that like it happened yesterday.
No, I do too, but I
was excited. I just had some chicken in my mouth, so I couldn't really get into it the way I wanted to. I had chicken. I didn't know you were going to catch me right off the gut like that.
You put a shirt on yet?
I would tell anybody, I expected him to do that.
8 points in 9 seconds?
Because he had hit rock. He could shoot with his eyes closed. So I expect for dudes like that to be able to pull stuff off.
I'm not surprised he made some buckets, but 8 points in 9 seconds is some stuff.
I know, points in 9 seconds, that's pretty amazing.
The buckets was one thing. Getting buckets while also yelling at Spike Lee, that's GOAT status.
It's so there's crazy. Iconic visuals in the NBA, you know, whether it's Shaq dunking or Air Jordan or all these things, but Reggie Miller with his hands around his neck is definitely on the list. I mean, you can close your eyes and instantly see it.
It's one that was amazing. I took that when we played the Philadelphia Eagles in after we beat them in the NFC Championship game. The next year we played them in their new stadium at the Lincoln. So pregame warmups, midfield is Big Red and Andy Reid, and I took and gave him the choke sign around the neck and said, "You ain't gonna choke tonight, are you?" And all he could do was laugh, though. He just, he's my boy, and all he could do was laugh. Oh, God.
Go back, because remember, it kind of escalated from there, and then all of a sudden guys were doing, like, they're running their thumb across their neck, like doing a throat slash thing, and then leagues had to get involved, like, hey, no more throat slashing.
Well, the reason that
Reggie
involved,
started the whole thing.
The reason they got involved in the league, the NFL in particular, with the throat slash is because our boy, the Juice. I got hit. I want to say it was 15,000 Monday night against the New England Patriots. I scored against Teddy Bruschi. I lined up in tight formation and tight end set and slammed down. He thought I blocked down. Play action. I popped back out. Touchdown. And I throat slashed the entire New England Patriot fan base. And I got a FedEx on Tuesday.
Was it worth it?
No. I'd like to have that back right now. That wasn't even worth it. Because it was so stupid of me because I scored the damn touchdown. It wasn't, you know what I'm saying? It's like the camera was already on me. They already zoomed in. And so you already know whoever was in the box, whether it was Al Michaels or Chris Collins, they didn't do nothing but drag it on. Oh, you know, that's just
there he goes again.
And so now they bring it more attention to the damn thing.
Oh, man. That's why you're number, what were you, number 17 on the list? I forget.
Yeah, I know, 17th most hated player in professional sports or something weird like that. Most annoying or something.
You wanted to finish your thought about the activism in Michael Jordan.
Oh, yeah, listen. I have had nothing but respect for Michael Jordan throughout his entire career. And, you know, as I sent you guys the link yesterday, I'm on camera defending Michael Jordan and the philanthropy that he's done, because I recognize people misconstrue using your platform with using your resources. Mike's always used his resources. He just didn't always use his platform. And that's okay. Everyone is made differently. Everyone has different goals. My only objection is when you try to tell me some okey-doke. Because if you're tunnel vision and you're only concentrating on professional basketball, as he's claiming, then what the hell are you doing making movies?
But LZ, I got to cut you off, man.
If you're tunnel vision, I've made movies. I know how much time it takes to make a movie.
But I got to cut you off. And I wasn't even a main character. I got to cut you off, though.
If you're only concentrating on basketball, then fine. But don't tell me you only concentrate on basketball if you're making movies and music
videos.
But that ain't because
I'm concentrating on my career. Maybe it was a poor choice of words if he said basketball. I don't remember if it was he said basketball or not. But when you're concentrating on what's in that box, part of that box that you're in is hoops, is football, is endorsements, is my family, is my commercial. I ain't concentrating on all that other stuff. Go let them deal with that right now. I got to sharpen my tools and keep it right so I have the ability to help when I can. When I'm comfortable at doing the things that I need to do, I cannot help if it ain't right. If it ain't right, how am I going to help?
I get it.
You got to get it, though. And so when people try to take that, I'm concentrating on my craft, but I'm doing movies and I'm shooting commercials, that's part of my damn craft because it's all part of my basketball.
But I don't want to get out there and start talking about something
I don't know nothing about. Again, I go back to me for a second. Talk about myself again. I go back to me. I did not know President Obama. I did not. I had a relationship with the Clintons. So I campaigned for Hillary. Does that make me a bad person because I didn't step up for a black dude that I had didn't know him from a can of paint? But I've eaten dinners. I've rode in motorcades. I've sat on panels. All of those sort of things with Hillary and Bill in his cabinet. Why would I jump ship and do that when I have no, there's nothing other than color? There's no intimate relationship.
I never said or suggested, though I know some people do, that Michael Jordan needs to speak out because of the color of his skin. That wasn't the conversation I was having.
That's not the conversation you was having, but that was suggested.
Yes.
That Michael didn't do that.
Yes.
Versus white versus black in North Carolina. Am I right or am I wrong, brother? Listen, I recognize the connection.
Absolutely. But
all right. Just as long as you recognize the connection, go shave your armpits.
Getting back to how we started this conversation was Craig Hodges and why Craig Hodges, quote unquote, mattered. Craig Hodges is intimately tied into that whole period with Michael Jordan's social justice because Craig Hodges was trying to get Michael Jordan to be more vocal. He was trying to get Magic Johnson at the time to be more vocal and to use that platform.
Magic Johnson's actually going to be joining us too.
9:30 this morning.
And perhaps you could ask him about it. And we know from Craig Hodges' interview that he said he was shut down by both guys. And we also know just by history that he was blackballed out of the NBA.
But he wasn't blackballed by them. They basically told him, I don't want to be involved. Wait, I want to clarify that because you said shut down and blackball at the same time. So it would send the message as if they blackballed him as part of them shutting him down. So I want to be clear that that's not what it was.
Before we lose the thought, I want to go back to how the NFL takes your money, Key. When you said you got a FedEx, do they said send me a check for $15,000 or does it just disappear from your check?
I don't remember that.
It just disappears from your check. You get a letter, a FedEx. It comes in on Wednesday because they hit you on Monday. It's usually delivered on Tuesday, but you're not in the building on Tuesday. So when you come in on Wednesday, you got it either taped to your locker or it's sitting right on your seat, and you're like, damn, man. And you open it, you peel it back, and it's some old something in there. And it is like, we're taking this because of this, 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 and this. Then you can appeal it, and then depending on who you are and who you know, you may get it a reduction on it, or they may say, nah, man, uh-uh. Nah, we taking that. And then at the end of the day, it's gone. It's gone. It's gone.
So you don't have to give it back. You just never get it in the first place.
It's gone.
That's some Big Brother stuff, man.
And sometimes they hit you. They might hit you for multiple infractions in a game. You might get a soccer belt and a throw ball in the stands. That might amount to $25,000.
By the way, that's always bothered me that you can't throw the ball in the stands. I mean, baseball puts 150
balls
in the stands.
The reason you can't throw the ball in the stands is because you incite a riot, you hurt somebody. I got it. I understood it. Early on in my career, I used to throw the ball in the stands.
Good for you.
After a few times of getting hit, you know, I
how much does it cost? Very quickly, how much to throw the football in the stands?
It was $25,000 the first time, $5,000 the second. And $2,500 the first time, $5,000 the second. And then the third time, something else. But our San Francisco 49ers, I scored two touchdowns in 98. I threw them both in the stands. And after that, I started walking into the stand and handing the football. And
is that
now
a fine?
You see a lot. No, now you see Cam Newton do it. You see, but
not
I
now.
Way back then.
You don't see Cam do it now.
No, not right now. Maybe when somebody gets hurt, he'll be able to hand out some more souvenirs along the line. Vegas has their odds on who they think is going to the Super Bowl, and there's one team that's nowhere to be found. That's next on The Morning Show on 710 ESPN.